I have returned to the meeting at 10:58. We're just going to take a roll call to make sure all board members are present. Dr. King? Dr. King? Yep.
Right.
Ms. Hunter? Oh, Dr. King, thank you. Ms. Hunter? Ms. Hunter?
Here.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Ms. Remick?
Here.
Ms. Remick? Thank you. Dr. Hornwell?
Yes, here.
Mr. Clinton?
Here.
And Mr. Greer?
Here.
You have, you are in the middle of a discussion for the movement of her motion that was moved and seconded for an informal hearing on complaint 1946, Joshua Grant, PTA.
Members of the board, I would like to just clarify a little bit of my concern in the grounds behind the motion to move it to an informal hearing. What I am hearing beyond documentation, and there is some support in the investigative report, that the PTA is treating patients that were not specifically delegated per our practice. Patients are to be delegated every day, every session. Documentation missing about who is the supervisor. PT, not clear on that there is a designated supervising PT for each patient, each session, and a little bit of gray area on how frequently the reassessed and plan of care is taken a look at. So I would like the board to entertain moving it to an informal hearing with the addition of adding 32-20445, which is substandard care. And taking a look at a little more deeply on the practice of this PTA being seemingly very autonomous and what supervision is provided for him.
Dr. King, are you concerned because this isn't documented? Because it sounds with conversation with him, he did have conversations with his supervising PT quite a bit.
Yes, and with all due respect, I asked him, does he talk about every single patient every session? And he said no. So there is not that delegation discussion that is supposed to happen between the supervising PT and the PTA every treatment session. If it's not clear, he said that he does have that with the PT for every patient. If there's a concern or a change in their status, then he will go and speak to them, or in his words, confront them. But otherwise, there is not clear delegation for the sessions that he is providing in aquatics for these patients and billing us PT.
I agree with that, but with all due respect, that's the PT's responsibility as well.
Correct, we're talking about him. We can certainly expand it, but for him, it's his responsibility to make sure his patients are delegated to him and he's identified who the delegating supervising PT is. And it does not, I have not seen that in the documentation, nor was that part of his testimony.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
This is Josh, and it seems like we had a pretty good discussion with him regarding, well, what else do we expect to get from an informal hearing?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
The discussion is closed, Mr. Brandt, so I need you to put your phone on or your computer on mute.
Yes, sorry.
Thank you.
Josh, for me, like for me, for example, right now, all we have in front of us is failing to maintain adequate records. And so there's a lot of documentation that seems to be very sketchy and not just around aquatics. He took a 2-hour course in aquatic documentation only. No discussion about supervision or supervision laws. He did say that he's done some small billing and now he's trying to make sure his documentation supports the billing, but that it's the billing that drives the documentation, it sounds like. So I just, for me, for an informal hearing, adding an additional piece to it would help us provide, I think it would give us more options to provide some potentially CEUs or things like that that he would really benefit from before he continues to practice the way he's practicing and get himself into big time trouble.
And I get that, Dr. King, but can't we just do that now?
I think the mechanism now, if I'm not mistaken, would be a non-disciplinary order of continuing ed.
And Dr. Cornwell.
Or we could have a board order, right?
Well, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, you do have another option, and I don't know if you've used this in the past, and so I don't want to, you know, kind of go down a path that the board hasn't gone down, but you can always offer a licensee or certificate holder a consent agreement. That consent agreement would contain findings of facts and conclusions of law in whatever order you think is appropriate. And if they don't sign it, then move it forward if you think it's appropriate to an informal.
Okay, thank you.
If you think it rises to discipline, but I want to be very deferential to your practices, and I don't want to necessarily introduce a new practice, especially in real time.
No, I think we've used that in the past, not a lot, but we have used it in the past.
Thank you.
And I know we have a motion and a second, but just for discussion, I think I would be more in favor of a non-discipline CEU.
Does anyone else have any questions, comments, things that they need to kind of figure out before they're ready to vote on the current motion?
Mm-mm. Okay, so the motion before you for complaint 1946, Joshua Brandt, PTA, is to move this complaint to an informal hearing. Ms. Dr. King?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
No.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Dr. Cornwell?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Greer?
No.
The motion fails to move to an informal hearing. You're back at motions.
It's Dr. King, I'd like to make a motion to offer a consent agreement, which a non-disciplinary, this consent agreement is non-disciplinary. Is that correct, Mr. Harris?
A consent agreement is disciplinary.
Oh, that's not what I want. Scratch that.
The non-disciplinary order would, the yes. Only thing you can require are CEs.
This is Peggy Hunter. I make a motion to offer Mr. Brandt non-disciplined CEUs, 8 hours of documentation, 3 hours of billing, which can be done online within 6 months.
Second, Remick.
Eight hours at the lot.
Or 6 hours. Is 6 hours more appropriate?
Yeah, but I just want to make sure what you want. What did you intend?
My intention is to make Mr. Brandt better at documentation because he does need some help with that.
All right.
Peggy, would you entertain a friendly amendment to add billing CEUs as well?
I think I mentioned that, but yes, I will.
6 hours of documentation and 3 hours of billing.
Okay.
Peggy, I've got a friendly amendment if you'd be willing to entertain.
Sure.
This is Mishka Remick. My friendly amendment or suggestion would be for Mr. Brandt to review the section of the law that discusses supervision and delegation and specifically how to document that.
So that's not actually an educational thing.
Right. Can he write a letter of attestation then that he had completed it?
No, not in the non-disciplinary order for continuing education.
So is there any way for him to be able to review the law without it being discipline other than the documentation class?
Mr. Brandt always has the opportunity to review the law.
It's right, but I mean, if we have him take the jurisprudence exam, rather, is what I meant to say, not the class, that would be considered discipline. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
my understanding is that most classes on documentation will cover supervision. Is that adequate for you?
It would be. I think I was trying to get to Dr. King's point of, you know, somehow acknowledging that a formal discussion needs to occur for each and every patient at each and every visit. And I somehow was trying to highlight that, since that seems to be at the crux of this case.
Could we specify then, Ms. Hunter, that the CEU for documentation be inclusive of the Arizona State Practice Act for super, I mean, every state's different. So if he takes just a general online documentation course, it won't necessarily cover supervision as we need it to be covered in Arizona, and he is practicing in Arizona. So I just want, so is there a way to stipulate a course that has to include Arizona supervision specifics?
I think we could ask board staff. That's how they would determine whether or not to approve it.
Mr. Harris, if you could comment on whether they can specify a course to be specific to state statutes or not, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely, Karen, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board. You absolutely can be specific. The only thing that I would ask is to make sure that in your specificity that there's actually courses out there that he would be able to take in compliance with your requirements. But if you want to, and assuming that there is a course that incorporates the Arizona laws and rules, then yes, I would encourage you to include that in your motion so that the order, the non-disciplinary order for CE, can reflect that.
I believe in the documentation courses that people take, especially it reviews how PTAs under general supervision have to put down their supervising physical therapist and license number. So I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. King, is what you're concerned about as well. And I think that would be covered in a documentation course.
I just don't want to make that assumption. I think that we're just hearing a piece of some concerns about truly understanding the supervision rules and laws here in the state of Arizona. So I would sort of stick with something that specifically speaks. If we're going to try and stay non-disciplinary, we really need to make sure that he is a safe practitioner in our state. And understand, and we can't require the jurisprudence exam again. So I would prefer that it's something that really has him objectively review and understand our state practice act.
I understand your concern. I'm pretty sure Mr. Brandt understands your concerns.
Ms. Hunter, do you accept the modification or not, since you are maker of the motion?
I don't know how that can be non-discipline.
So it's a non-disciplinary order for 6 hours of documentation, with the caveat that the information needs to include, at least in part, Arizona state statutes and rules.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And much better stated, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is everyone clear? Do you want to hear the motion again? So the motion before you is complaint 1946, Joshua Brandt, PTA, to issue a non-disciplinary order that includes 6 hours of documentation, with the caveat that at least partial a portion of the course needs to be related to Arizona statutes and rules, 3 hours of billing and coding, all classes could be completed online within 6 months with early termination available. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Brandt.
Thank you, Mr. Barry.
No, thank you for your time. And I would like to, I'm always willing to learn more. So that's perfectly fine. And it will it be sent to me as far as the exact courses I need to take?
No, you'll have to, I can talk to you about it, but you will receive a document from me regarding the order. And then once you receive it, if you have questions, you can call me.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Before we leave this one completely, there was some mention earlier about possibly expanding the and looking at some of the physical therapists working in this particular clinic.
Yes.
I think we'll probably need a motion on that, right?
We would need to know who the supervising physical therapists are.
Well, here's the problem in that it sounds like he had several, and it sounded like the therapists were more than happy just to refer them on to aquatic therapy and never really think about them again. So
yeah, Mr. Harris, if you could help me then, if the board is looking to seek who the supervising physical therapists are for a period of time, how would the board draft such a motion to direct staff?
And let me ask Mindy a quick question. Mindy, is there any reference in the records that you reviewed who his supervisors were?
Not in the record, in the three records that I received, no.
Then I think what we could do is simply just ask Mr. Brandt who his supervising who his supervisors were
or are currently. I mean, I don't know what period of time, Ms. King, you are looking for, or Dr. Yeah. Cornwall.
He well, didn't necessarily stipulate, but it sounded as though it's current practice.
Okay, so Mr. Brandt, are you still available? Mr. Brandt, are you still available? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please identify your current supervising physical therapist?
My current is Rodney Nader. He's a PT that's treating there. And then, as I said, there's the traveling therapists that are there. They're always reviewing the documentation.
Can you tell me the names of the traveling physical therapists as well?
Kyle Hillard and Connor. I don't remember. I don't know his last name at the top of my head, but those
you
are.
You don't know your supervising physical therapist's last name?
No. Well, Connor, I could look it up at this time, but.
Go ahead. I'll give you time to go ahead and do that. And if you could repeat for me Mr. Kyle's last name.
Kyle Hillard.
And Cornwell, members of the board, while Mr. Brandt is getting that information for Karen, I want to make sure that the individuals that he's identifying, at least they may have been the his supervisors for the records that you have reviewed, because it seems that those were the records that initiated the at least the initial concerns that the board may have.
This is Mindy. I went back and looked at the records that I reviewed and I misspoke. I did receive the initial evaluations for each of the three records. There are three separate physical therapists identified. Arlene Shi, S-H-I, she's been previously reviewed and adjudicated, just as an FYI for the board. Kyle McKeegan, M-C-K-E-I-G-H-N. And Wilson Reggie, R-O-E-G-G-E. I do not believe he was previously reviewed.
So members of the board, Dr. Cornwell, Mr. Harris, I believe the opening of the complaints were due to his testimony today about current practice, not practice 3 years ago. Does that make a difference, Mr. Harris?
No. I apologize if I went down a road that we weren't supposed to go down with respect to the board's concerns. So my understanding, based upon that, Karen, it was in response to his his answers today, as opposed to anything that may have been in the investigative files.
Dr. King, can you clarify, please?
Yes, it was based on me asking him how we were speaking, I'm assuming, in current terms, current times. I asked how he is delegated the patients that he sees in his aquatics. And he said he just has his patient list. He talks to the PTs if he has to, if there's a change of status. And so it sounded very current process. And based on his testimony, it brought up concerns for me that that his understanding and practice for supervision, as well as the PTs who were, he said there's always a PT on site. He didn't necessarily say that they are the ones supervising him or they're even aware of the patients he has in the pool. So it is more current practice than anything.
Thank you, Dr. King.
Mr. Brandt, were you able to come up with Connor's last name?
Yes, it's Connor Meppen.
Can you spell M-E?
M-E-P-P-E-N.
Okay. And then thank you.
Okay. And then
and those are the three cards.
It's Rodney Thomas.
Rodney Thomas. Not Nader?
Not Nader.
Okay. So I have as your current supervising physical therapist, Rodney Thomas, Kyle Hiller, and Connor Meppen. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So the board now has
Dr. Donahue, can I ask Mr. Brandt something at this point?
I have no idea. Mr. Harris, can Ms. Hiller ask a question?
Ms. Hunter.
Ms. Hunter,
Mr. Brandt, I'm just wondering if, as a PTA, if you're aware, because I'm a PTA, are you aware that when you get a patient and you have their chart, that you're supposed to talk with the PT prior to even treating them?
Yes, and with the documentation, I haven't been writing the super, which now on I will write every supervising therapist right in my note. But I thought that was a given as far as the note goes, because it says who the supervising therapist is that was evaled at that time with each patient. So therefore, if there's any change in status, I could go to that PT.
Correct.
Or I could go to another PT. So I guess what I'm saying is that there was always someone that I thought it was just a given that they're the supervising PT, and therefore I did not have to specify each time.
No, that is incorrect.
Correct.
And you must have the supervising PT, and that's not necessary for them to write in the note.
They have
but
to
you just can't be given a chart by the front desk and say go treat this patient with not knowing the. So I just don't want you to get in trouble again.
Right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
So we don't have a motion. We identified current supervising physical therapist. Does the board want to make a motion?
I thought we had a motion about that Peggy made regarding CEUs.
The non-disciplinary order.
The
non-disciplinary order for complaint 1946 is already passed. Dr. Cornwell brought up whether or not
there have been
any additional complaints on current supervising physical therapists. They asked Mr. Brandt to identify his current physical therapist, which he has. This is where we have stopped so far.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm not sure how to word the motion, but I would make a motion that we open an investigation for Rodney Thomas, Kyle Hiller, Connor Meppen, regarding practice and supervising assistant personnel and PTAs.
Is there a second?
Second.
You are in discussion.
Sounds like The silence tells me that we're ready for the vote.
So the motion before you is to open complaints based on complaint 1946, Joshua Brandt, PTA, on Rodney Thomas, PT, Kyle Hiller, PT, and Connor Meppin, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hiller? Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes and the complaints will be opened.
Thank you, Mr. Brandt.
Thank you, Mr. Brandt.
No, thank you for your time.
All right, moving on to case number 19-61, Lamont Hutchinson, physical therapist assistant.
That case is mine. So complaint 1961, Lamont Hutchinson, PTA. The board opened complaint 1916 after notification of suspension of the fingerprint clearance card from DPS due to arrest for misdemeanor disorderly conduct involving domestic violence, ARS 13-3601, that occurred on or about November 2nd, 2019. Mr. Hutchinson did not notify the board within the required 10-day notification period. Mr. Hutchinson also did not respond to the complaint after numerous email and certified mail and regular mail communications. Mr. Hutchinson was notified again electronically following renewal of his license on September 11th, 2020, after he updated both his mailing address and email address during renewal. This case is for your review.
Mr. Hutchinson, you're there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how this works, so you can hear me, so that's good.
It's very similar to the ones that we've just handled, so if you'd like to make a statement now, you may, then we may have questions for you, and hopefully you'll answer them, and at that point, when the questions are done, you're welcome to make another statement.
Okay. I would say that all of those things are correct. I did not notify the board of a new email address or a new physical address. It was just a very, I guess I would say, volatile time for me. And the things I should have taken care of, I did not do. I'm completely guilty of those things. What I would say, the only thing I can say in my defense is that I have not been working as a PTA because I realize the nature of my mistakes, and I didn't want to try to fool anybody into anything. And so I'm just trying to get my life back on track. That's all. That's all I can say. I haven't worked as a PTA since January, and I believe the charges that were brought against me for the disorderly conduct were in December. So that's about all I can say, really.
So you renewed your license. This is Dr. Cornwell. You renewed your certificate. And I'm assuming that you renewed because you felt like you were able to safely perform as a physical therapist assistant, but you have chosen not to work since January.
I have chosen not to work because I knew that my fingerprint clearance card was suspended, and I had a lawyer, and we both felt like it was the best thing to do to get that reinstated before I attempted to work again as a PTA. and partly because of the COVID-19 kind of thing, that did not happen until August. Karen asked me to send her a copy that I had had my fingerprint clearance card reinstated, and I did so.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Does any board members have a question for Mr. Hutchinson?
I do. This is Nishka Remick. Mr. Hutchinson, any thought as to how you want to proceed with employment in the capacity of a PTA again?
My preference is a skilled nursing facility. That's what I've done for about 8 years. That's what I prefer to do, but I have also worked outpatient, and I've also worked in a hospital setting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hutchinson, this is Peggy Hunter, PTA. I realize you are under probably a lot of stress, et cetera, but surely you realized you should notify the board that you have been arrested, et cetera. Can I ask why you didn't do that?
The only thing that I can say is that I was, in a relationship and it went south. And that was about the only thing that was on my mind at the time. It's a poor excuse, but it's the truth.
Okay, well, the truth is always good.
I've had a license since 2008 with no complaints, and all of the people that I have treated in that time, despite the setting, have all, as far as I know, have all been pleased with what I have been able to do for them. And I sidestepped, and I can't make any other excuse. I know I should have notified the board of the changes in my address and my phone number and all those things. I just, I don't know if it was a midlife crisis. I don't know how to explain it to you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? I would like to make a motion that we offer him an advisory letter, which is non-disciplinary. That letter would urge him to pay particular attention to rules and statutes of physical therapy in Arizona and to report any changes going forward.
Second.
Any discussion?
So it's been moved and seconded to issue a non-advisory letter requesting that Mr. Hutchinson pay attention to the rules and statutes, report any changes in email or addresses or any other notifications to the board within the specified time frame. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right.
All right, Mr. Hutchinson, we'll just be sending you an advisory letter in the mail.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for participating.
If I could excuse the proceedings for just a moment, I'd like to request to leave this meeting. I'm actually currently on vacation. So you've heard all the cases I had, and I'd like to sign off.
All right. Enjoy your vacation.
I hope you get really cold, Mindy.
Have fun.
Have fun.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
Ms. Richardson, the meeting at 11:33.
I have a question. Okay, at this point for me to pursue employment again as a PTA?
Yes, Mr. Hutcherson, you can pursue employment.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to sign off, okay?
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, I am going to reorder the agenda a little bit, and we're going to move down to 4C, Board Order 18-21, Christopher Martin, physical therapist assistant, asking for modification.
Mr. Martin is asking for modification to take his requirements for CE online.
This is Dr. King. I make a motion that we approve the request to modify the board order.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Mr. Martin's request to complete his courses for Board Order 1821 online. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Can we have discussion on this
first? Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Hunter.
I'm just wondering, when did he originally have this ordered?
Well, you have the order, so the order is dated.
I have two.
The order is dated October 23rd, 2019.
Okay, I see no other option, but the thing that bothers me here is that he's had plenty of time to get this done. And trust me when I tell you, if I had appeared before the board and they told me to do this, I'd be looking up courses before I left the boardroom. So to me, this is like taking advantage of COVID-19. I'm off my soapbox.
Any further discussion? So the motion before you is to allow Mr. Martin to complete his board requirements for Board Order 1821 online. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter? Ms. Hunter?
No, sorry.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Next is Board Order 18-47, Sarah Knuckles, physical therapist. She's asking to take online courses as well. I move that we approve her request to take online courses.
King, second.
Discussion? It's been moved and seconded to allow Ms. Knuckles, PTA, to complete Board Order 1847, the requirements for CEUs online. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. So 4D, Board Order 19-17, Nicolette Owens, physical therapist. She's asking to requesting early termination of probation.
Ms. Owens, are you present?
No, Karen, Karen, it's Kelly. Before we go into it, I just want to make sure, I think there might be a typo. It says that the probation started in June 2020, and that it says the states it will terminate on May 29th of 2020. I'm wondering if that should have been 2021.
Yes, thank
you. That's passed us now. Yes, of course.
Ms. King is making a technical correction to the board memo, which indicated an inappropriate termination date. Thank you, Dr. King.
You're welcome.
This is Dr. Cornwell. I move that we approve her request for early termination.
Second.
Discussion? It's been moved and seconded to approve early termination for Board Order 1917, Nicolette Owens. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clendon?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right. So I would like to move to item 5A, review, discussion, and possible action regarding guidelines, criteria for substance abuse recovery program, ARS 32-2044-8.
So the board was provided, thank you, through the courtesy of Mr. Harris, the Arizona Medical Board's guidelines, processes, and guidelines, as well as the Nursing Board's processing guidelines through a program they called Can Do. You also received information from Nancy Kirsch from the FSBPT regarding substance abuse recovery programs or diversion programs. What we're asking the board to do today is to develop the criteria for entry into this program. As I believe that if we can establish the criteria for entry, then the board then can, per case basis, determine the requirements of the board order based upon the evidence of each case. But what we do not have currently is a policy that outlines who is eligible for the diversion program.
And to be clear, this is a diversion that would be anonymous, correct?
That's correct. It does not indicate discipline, and because it's not disciplinary, it is not public record. And Mr. Harris, if I've misspoke, please step in.
And so if we had a case where we felt like it was necessary, we could still make a board order that they go into some abuse recovery program.
Mr. Harris, can you speak more to the diversion program board order?
Sure. If I understand the question, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, you always have the authority to impose whatever terms of monitoring you think are appropriate in cases that come before you that involve allegations of unprofessional conduct and that include some sort of, you know, substance abuse, alcohol, things of that sort. What I think what we need to do is differentiate when a licensee contacts the board with a personal issue involving those same things, completely unrelated to, you know, the practice of physical therapy. You have the statutory authority to develop a confidential program for them to participate in. And I think what we're looking at this morning is what is going to be the criteria for an individual to be eligible to participate in that confidential anonymous program.
Are you calling me?
So to help clarify, so in the two documents you have, the Arizona Medical Board, at the bottom of page one, proceeding into page two, you have the medical board's criteria for entry. In the document that you received from the nursing board, you would have to go to page three, which is actually page two of the document, not with the flow sheet on top. Number seven, that talks about the nursing board eligibility requirements. Ms. Cardoza, oh, thank you for putting yourself on mute. So those are two examples of current Arizona boards and what their criteria for entry is, but you have also received information from the FSBPT.
Yeah, the resources that you sent from the FSBPT were helpful. It does sound like it's something that many boards are looking at and trying to determine best practice in each state. Clearly there's a need, or it wouldn't be, you know, a big topic at the FSBPT. It's come up several times, I know, in the annual meetings I've attended.
Right, so we have a statute that allows a person to go into a diversion program, and it's only been used a small handful of times that I know of during my tenure at the board. However, what we have failed to do as a board is develop the criteria for entry into this program. So the board's charge at the last meeting was to provide these materials for you so that we can hopefully determine these criteria so that we know who can enter into the diversion program. Once they're in the diversion program, the board has all their options still remaining to them. It's just a different path that they take versus the complaint path.
I found that the nursing one was much longer than I thought was necessary. But if I look at the nursing one on page 2 of 8, number 7, I thought what we could do is we could distill it down to A, D, J, and O. Now, we might have to change it just slightly, just make sure it reflects physical therapy, but.
So let me just, for the record, for those that are listening in, just read those so that they're aware. So for eligibility requirements, A would be voluntarily requests admission to the program. D would be does not have a previous history of disciplinary action involving probation, suspension, revocation, surrender, or denial of a license by any state board. J is otherwise eligible for continued licensure, and O has not engaged in high-risk criminal behavior that includes crimes involving sexual misconduct or crimes involving violence or threatening behavior which can impact safety to practice. You're still in discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I did consider L, which is agrees to limit nursing practice to this state only and will be issued a single state license while in the ATD program. I just don't know if that's really necessary, but I'd be interested to hear what other people think.
I think that's particular to the nursing profession, where they have easier mobility to go state to state than PTs have. So I don't think that's really that applicable to us.
Okay. But looking at the ones that I noted, and then the physician one, is there anything that's really missing? Is there something else we really need?
Well, I would like to see the number 2 on the physician, no evidence of patient care while impaired.
Oh, I think I was thinking that O might take care of that, but you're right, that may not exactly deal with that.
Pardon the interruption, board members. This is Nushka Remek. I am sorry, I'm going to have to leave this meeting now as I have another meeting I need to attend.
So, thank you, Nushka. Ms. Remick is leaving the meeting at 11:47.
Correct. Thank you.
This is Karen Busio. I think we do need to consider multiple state licenses in light of the therapy compact. And, you know, many people, especially in the border areas, do have multiple state licenses. So at least we need to consider it.
I mean, we could always just stipulate that as a condition of going into the program.
Right, that's what you're doing. You're trying to stipulate what are the conditions going into the program.
Yeah, that you would limit your practice while you're in the program to the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
Because with this way we know about there's a person with an issue, this way we're not just pushing the issue onto another state.
I think that's more, the more I think about that, I think you're right. I think there's a possibility that they could go to, they have a compact and they could go to another state and kind of not be able to finish what we want them to do or what they ought to do.
Yeah, or you have the people as stated, you know, that have multiple licenses in multiple states. And okay, they're in this program in Arizona, but they're doing their thing elsewhere. You know, it's confidential, so we can't warn the other states. Mm-hmm. But this way, we can make it a condition that they don't practice elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, it's a very good point.
It sounds like we would add L. And then number two from the physician, which is no evidence of patient care while impaired. So that would be six. That would be six criteria. Anybody feel like we're missing something, or is there something on that list that just really doesn't need to be there?
So let me review your list. Eligibilities for participation in the substance abuse diversion program include the following. Voluntarily requests admission to the program, has no evidence of patient care while impaired, does not have a previous history of disciplinary action involving probation, suspension, revocation, surrender, or denial of a license in any state board, is otherwise eligible for continued licensure, agrees to limit practice to the state of Arizona only, and has not engaged in any high-risk criminal behavior that includes crimes involving sexual misconduct or crimes involving violence or threatening behavior which can impact safety to practice.
I think B should be on the nursing board. Agrees in writing to comply with all elements of stipulated agreements. So that whatever documentation is the paperwork involved, they have to agree to it in writing, and it's part of the conditions of being accepted.
I'm okay adding that. I guess I looked at that as kind of like understood, but we need to spell things out.
Yeah, it's sort of a quasi-legal document here.
Yeah. Is everybody okay with adding B?
Yes.
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 Do we want to make this a formal motion?
Hold on. Let's just clarify with Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, does this sound to be an adequate list of eligibility requirements?
Yes. Karen, I would defer to the board on what they think is the criteria for eligibility in the board's confidential program. With that said, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, I think we were heading toward a motion, and I would say yes, please, we need to memorialize this. And also, though, keep in mind that this can be an evergreen document as you move forward. you know, you're always have the ability to amend these requirements as the board determines appropriate.
All right, then I move that we accept our criteria for being in, admitted into the deferral or alternate substance abuse program as stated.
Second.
So it was moved and seconded, and if you could just take a editorial comment, can we call them guidelines instead of criteria?
Yeah, I'm fine with guidelines.
So it's been moved and seconded to approve the eligibility requirements for a diversion program for substance abuse. And I'm just going to read them again for the record, that include voluntary request admission into the program, has no evidence of patient care while impaired, agrees in writing to comply with all elements of the stipulated agreements, does not have previous history of disciplinary action involving probation, suspension, revocation, surrender, or denial of a license by any state board, is otherwise eligible for continued licensure, agrees to limit practice to the state of Arizona only, and has not engaged in any high-risk criminal behavior that includes crimes involving sexual misconduct or crimes involving violence or threatening behavior which can impact safety to practice. Dr. King. Oh, yes, Mr. Clinton.
In the item where you talk about licensure, can we add and certification?
Sure. Thank you.
This message is to inform.
Dr. Cornwell, do you accept the modification and certification?
Yes.
Dr. King, do you accept as a second?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're ready for the vote. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Oh, she's out. She left.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Remick is not present. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The guidelines are adopted.
Okay, thank you very much. That allows us to go back up and to item 4B6, case number 20-12, Kim Lewis, physical therapist.
Ms. Lewis, are you present? I thought she was going to be present this morning. Ms. Lewis, are you present?
She was earlier.
Okay. Well, she voluntarily did not come back. Okay. So just for a summary, the board tabled this complaint 2012, Kim Lewis PT for a disclosure that she was charged with 6 felony counts, 4 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, felony three, and 2 counts of DUI aggravated with a driver's license restricted, and a felony 4 for an incident involving driving on the wrong way of on a freeway while impaired on February 2nd, 2018. She was notified of her in court of her court appearance on May 15th, 2020. This case is for your review.
I think that this case is one that we felt was appropriate for some type of
diversion
program.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Mr. Chairman, I believe we tabled this pending the outcome of her September 21st hearing.
21st.
Do we know what happened at that hearing?
I have not had any communication from Ms. Lewis other than she was indicated she'd be present today. So I don't know if our timeline went too long or why she's not present currently.
And
Should we consider tabling it again to hear the outcomes of her September 21st hearing?
Yeah, she should have had a pretrial conference yesterday.
That she may or may not have had. It's hard to. Right. I might be able to see. If you give me just a minute, I might be able to check for you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Who is present?
Hello, this is Kim Lewis. Can you hear me?
Oh, thank you, Kim. Awesome. We were waiting for you to
meet. I've been on the call since 8:15.
Oh, well, welcome.
I was really freaked out when I lost it. So, sorry about that.
That's okay. We are in discussion of your complaint, Ms. Lewis.
Yes, I did have a court hearing yesterday, which we presented my current concessions and arguments before the court with my attorney and the prosecuting attorney. And I've now had a reset of a court date for October 19th at 2:30 p.m. So far there have not been any convictions.
Has there been any changes in the charges?
No, not at all. My understanding is they're trying to narrow down all the charges to one charge, and we will pursue from there.
Mr. Harris, never mind. I guess I'm thinking out loud. Did we table this again?
It would make sense. That way we know.
Can I speak again? I'm sorry. May I speak one more time?
Yes, go ahead.
According to my attorney, everything should be confirmed and agreed to by the next court date, and we will have a contingency on a final agreement to my trial or plea and be able to go forward from there.
Okay, so I let me move that we table this until when did you say that court date was?
The court date is October 19th, so okay, your meeting would be the week after.
So, table this until our October meeting.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none. It's been moved and second to table complaint 2012, Ms. Lewis PT, to the October meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
and we'll move it to the October meeting. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I understood the previous conversation. Am I excluded from participating in the substance abuse program?
They have not taken any action on the complaint yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. So move down to item 5B, in service on legal obligations practice management by Peg Hiller. Peg, did you stick with us?
Yeah, here, Peggy, you're on mute.
Okay, can everybody see the first page of the slide?
No.
Except for me, no.
You can't see it. All right, what did I do wrong?
I still see everyone's faces.
Okay, hold on. Let me see what I didn't do yet. Okay, now do you see the slides?
Well, it's not the first slide.
Okay, I know. Hang on. I just want to make sure. Everybody, hold on. Can everybody see it?
Yes.
I can.
Beautiful. I like the colors you picked.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, before we start, I didn't know if the board wanted a break or not a break.
You want at least a short break? I'm not going anyplace.
Sounds like no. Go ahead, Ms. Hiller.
Okay, let me give you a very brief background of what you're going to see today, which is when I left employment with the Board of PT as our investigator compliance specialist, I developed an educational course that's an 8-hour course for licensees, certificate holders in basic jurisprudence, practice management, patient care management, which would be the piece that includes supervision and delegation, and documentation. The largest focus of the class is on documentation. Almost every course, someone writes a comment that they think every therapist should have to take the course. I know it's not about my brilliant teaching acumen, but rather about the information that's presented, which is presented not chronologically in terms of statutes and rules, but by topic.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second, sure. Because I really want to stop the recording and turn it back on. I apologize. Hang on.
All right.